2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse number 1. The healing of Naaman. The king of Aram had great admiration for Naaman, the commander of his army, because through him the Lord had given Aram great victories. But though Naaman was a mighty warrior, he suffered from leprosy. And at this time, the Araman raiders had invaded the land of Israel, and among their captives was a young girl who had been given to Naaman's wife as a maid. One day the girl said to her mistress, "I wish my master would go to see the prophet in Samaria. He would heal him of his leprosy." Amen. Amen. I want to talk about a little girl that helped to heal a big man. A little girl that helped to heal a big man. This text is about this great military genius named Naaman. Naaman was a VIP. He was a mighty warrior. He was probably the head of the intelligence of the nation of Syria at the time. Syria constantly was in battle between Syria and Israel. In fact, it's reported through Josephus that Naaman was the guy who took out Ahab. Sort of like Barack Obama and even the Republicans appreciate the fact that he was president who took out Osama bin Laden. Naaman was this famous warrior. Everybody knew his name. He was great. He was smart. He was good looking. He looked sort of like that Mr. Ziegler over there, that young man. He was in shape, no fat anywhere. God, did he look good in his uniform. Clean cut, smart, brilliant, great in stature, great in position, positioned to be perhaps the next leader. But Naaman had a problem. It's sort of like some of our young people here today who are positioned as well. You know, can you imagine? You graduated from college. You graduated with honors. You went to Spelman. You went to Morehouse. You went to Harvard. You went to whatever school. You graduated with honors. You finally get a job. You're doing well. You're promoted. One job after another. You're now in 150,000. Oh, it'd be great to make 80 today. But everything is going great for you. You bought your first car, new car, a Benz, a two-seater. You just got back from vacation. You got a boyfriend, you got a girlfriend, and they're making more than you. Hallelujah. Things are going great, and then all of a sudden you get a pain in your side somewhere, and you find out that you have this incurable disease. And you find out that all of your education and all of your money don't mean a thing. You got this disease that you've been to Hackensack University Medical Center. You've been to one doctor after another. You've got good health insurance, and yet they tell you there's nothing they can do. And the only one that you can lean on is God. That's where Naaman was. He was in that predicament. He was brilliant. He was mighty. He was a man of valor. He was a man of honor. But then he had leprosy. And he was in a position that nobody could help him but God. Only time, Naaman is only mentioned one time in the Bible, as far as I know. It's here in this fifth chapter of 2 Kings. You don't find his name anywhere else. The Bible doesn't tell us everything, but one could assume because Naaman had the best health insurance of the day. One of the things they tell us, I hope this is true, that our soldiers, they ought to have the best medical situation in the world because they're putting their lives on the line. They need the best doctors, the best nurses. They need the best that money can buy. Amen? And I would assume because Naaman was the general that he had everything that could be provided for a military genius. Probably been everywhere. And yet, he had this incurable disease. And he's probably pretty much like this day, this time that we live in. You know, rich folk get the best medical insurance. He was not the only one who had leprosy, but he's the only one mentioned because he was a rich cat. Live in a time now where it seems like poor folk, their lives don't matter. We got a Congress who's talking about we don't need health insurance. Who died and left you in charge of my life? I thought God created me and I thought that I had a right to life just like you did because you have a little money. Naaman. There probably were some other people who had leprosy, but Naaman is mentioned because he is a VIP. And that was this little girl, this little nameless woman, this young woman who had been captured as Syria was in battle over in Israel, and she was brought back to Syria to serve in the house of her mistress, Mrs. Naaman. One day, Naaman, he was out of his uniform, and Naaman was walking around in the house, and probably she saw all these spots. You know, how many of you know sometimes your clothes can cover up a whole lot of stuff? She saw these spots on him, and she decided, she said, if my master only could go over to Samaria and meet the prophet over there would heal him. Now look at somebody and say, she was a special child. Now notice the fact that she had been captured in the war and brought back to serve in a Syria house. And she had lost her mom and father and family and her relationships over in Samaria. If it had been me, I probably would have said, let him rot. Some of you kind of laughing, but you'd be saying the same thing. You were captured, you were stolen, you're working in the mistress' house, and now you find out that Naaman has got an incurable disease. You might not have jumped and shouted for joy, but you'd have been kind of smiling. And you would not have rushed to recommend that he go to somebody that could heal him. You would have thought that finally God is just. Do I have one witness in the house? This young woman, this young girl had a forgiving heart. She said, if my master would just go over to Samaria and see the prophet over there, the prophet would heal him. So Naaman, how many of you know sometimes you can be so sick you'll take advice from almost anybody? Usually Naaman probably would have said, who are you, this young girl who's going to give advice? He just had a cold. He wouldn't even listen to her. But he was so sick to this young girl, he probably had been everywhere else and he tried everything else. And he decided, let me go over to Samaria and see if I can get healing over there. So he gathered together his money. The text says he took gold and silver and clothes. And he takes it. And he goes over to Samaria and he goes to the king's house. And the king said, he says, he's got a letter from his own king that says, I got leprosy, I need healing. And the king says, who am I, God, that you're going to come to me? But somehow Elijah heard and said, King, send him down to me. And he said, can you imagine this general going down to the prophet's house in the hood? Elijah living in the projects. And here Naaman goes down with an entourage of general limousines. Oh, and Naaman goes out. He's got on his military uniform. He's got the colonels and the sergeants and whoever else, and they're driving him, and he's in the big limo in front of the projects. And Reverend Elijah is up on the third floor, and Naaman's out there blowing the horn. Don't you know I'm out here? Elijah doesn't even come out. Naaman gets an attitude. How many of you know that sometimes you can think so highly of your own self that you might miss God's blessing? Now he's a general. And he goes down to Elijah's house, and Elijah stays up in the room, Elijah sends an LPN out to talk to him. He doesn't even send a registered nurse. He doesn't even send a doctor. He sends a nurse's aide out to talk to Naaman. And Naaman gets an attitude. Don't you know who I am? Have you read my press report? Don't you see these limos out here? Can't you recognize these bars on my shoulder? I'm not a private first class. I've been through some battles. Elijah says to himself, I don't care who you are. How many of you know that God can use most unexpected persons to bless you? God doesn't need you to have a PhD to work through you. He didn't need you to have a college education. My God, if that was the case, many of us would have never got to college. Thank God for my mother. Thank God for my grandmother, who never had a college education, but they sacrificed for me. Thanks be to God. God can use anybody. Oh, here's big old Naaman. Naaman was so mad that he almost walked away from a blessing. He was so important that he almost missed his healing. Don't you be so important that you miss your healing. And there's some folk right now who think, well, you know, I used to go down there at Mount Olive when I was in college, and I used to go down there when my mother grew up in the projects, and when I grew up on 30 Lord Avenue in Bayonne, New Jersey, in apartment 244 in the projects. I used to go to church, but now that I got a college education, and now I bought my own home and I make a little money, I ain't got time for the black church no more. I got to go where these sophisticated folk are. Fact of the matter is, sometimes I don't even go anywhere. But the religion that was good for my mama and my daddy and my grandmama ain't good enough for me no more. You better check yourself. Look at somebody and say, you better check yourself. If you think that you are so blessed that God can't bless you right now, right where you are, he can use some uneducated person to bless you right where you are. Naaman, he's out there in front of Elijah's house. Elijah doesn't come out. He sends somebody out there. That's bad enough. But Naaman is expecting that Elijah's going to come out and he's going to do some Hollywood hocus pocus. In the name of Jesus, come over, heal him. He's going to speak in tongues, and the lightning is going to flash, and the thunder is going to roll, and everybody's just going to roll out the red carpet, and all of a sudden the scale is going to fall from his eye, and his skin's going to get just like a baby skin, just in a supernatural, unnecessary, important way. But Elijah says, go wash in the Jordan River. And Naaman really gets an attitude. How many of you know, I don't care who you are, you got some prejudices to deal with. You know, for a long time, we used to always talk about white folk having prejudices against black folk. But look at somebody and say, I got some prejudices against other folk, too. I even got some prejudices against some light skin and some dark skin. I got some prejudices against people with good hair and bad hair, whatever that is. We all got some issues that we got to deal with. You don't have to say amen. This is one of those occasions where I say, preach, Jackson. We got issues with fat people and skinny people. We got issues with rich folk and poor folk. We got some issues. And every now and then when you come to church, you don't need somebody congratulating you in your prejudice. You need somebody to look you in your face and say, you need to look in the mirror of your own life and ask God to work on the issues on the inside of your life, because those issues might end up putting you in hell. And Naaman goes down there and he says, I got to wash in the Jordan. Can you imagine that you got an incurable disease? You got AIDS, let's say. You got some disease. And you go to the doctor and he said, well, you got to go wash in the Hackensack River. And you got to wash not one time. You got to wash seven times. Pastor Jackson's got to come down there. He got to baptize you. You got to dunk you seven times. You would look at him and say, you've got to be nuts. Naaman says, isn't there better rivers? Far River and Abana River over in Syria? Why I got to wash in this dirty river? Thank God. One of Naaman's servants said, well, if he had asked you to do something difficult, you would have done it. Why don't you just go ahead and try him? And he gave you a simple answer. Look at somebody and say, thank God for people who can mentor us and encourage us. Look at somebody and say, I thank you for your mentorship. I thank you for your advice every now and then. If it hadn't been for your advice, I would have messed up big time. Anybody got that testimony that somebody gave you some advice that blessed your life? So Naaman listens to this servant of his. Turn off your cell phone. At least he's playing American music. I guess that's a sign I need to come on in. I'm coming. Now where was I? Threw me off. All right, I just want to see if you knew where it was. So Naaman, he's been dunked seven times, and sure enough, he's got good skin now. They have no, what's that stuff they have on TV now where it's supposed to make your skin just perfect, you know? What is it? Yeah, they didn't have no proactive. They just had dirty water. But how many of you know that dirty water in the name of Jesus can give you a clean skin and a clean heart? Had the water of the Jordan River. So seven times and his skin is pure. And Naaman gets so excited. And Naaman says, oh my God, look at me. Because I was a general. But you can be so sick that your sickness begins to define you. Thanks be to God. Naaman now is healthy again, and he's so happy. He says, oh, how much can I pay you? Let me give you, I bought some gold, I bought some silver. Here, let me give it to you, Elijah. And Elijah says, no, I don't want your money. And so Elijah says, I don't want your money. And Naaman begins to serve God and said, there's no other God like you. Tell me something. How did you feel when the Lord healed your body? How did you feel when the Lord cleaned you up? How did you feel when the Lord brought you out? Did you feel like shout? Did you give him the honor? Would you give somebody a testimony of how good God is? That there's some things in your life that money can't buy. Do I have a witness in here? There's some things that only God can do. God can only straighten you out and clean you up. I know you go to counseling, but it's God that's able to restore your life back again. So, anytime you feel like you're such a big man or a big woman that you don't need God, God can strategically place a little no-name girl right in your house and right in your neighborhood and right in your church that can give you some advice. Now, here's the last thing I want to say. Notice that little girl, she's now a slave in Syria, but she remembers what took place in her mother's house. She remembered seeing her father, perhaps, who was sick, and he went down to the prophet's house. She remembers how the Lord healed somebody. Is there anybody else in here who remembers another time? When the Lord brought you out, when the Lord made a way for you, when the Lord healed your body, when the Lord took care of you. If you remember, for God's sake, tell somebody. You got to find an opportunity to tell somebody what the Lord has done for you. It wasn't my education. It wasn't my good looks. It wasn't anything but the Lord who brought me out and turned me around, gave me a song to sing, gave me a testimony, gave me a second chance, gave me hope, gave me a way out of darkness. Thanks be to the Lord. You know, Naaman could have said, well, I'm not going to take the advice of this little slave girl. What's she know? Some of us are prejudiced against people who don't think the same way we think, who haven't been in the same places. But all of us, I'm looking at most of you in here, and I know some of you certainly got far more than I have materially. But all of us are just two paychecks. All right, somebody said one. I can remember when I prayed to make $10,000 a year. I can remember when that was a lot of money. Oh, Lord. And now, what bothers me a lot about this conservative group, it seems to me like they've lost their memory. Actually, to be honest with you, I think they lost their mind. I'm just being for real up here. And you know, there are people who forget, you know, the governmental program, the same one they criticize, and the same Social Security that they criticize, the same unions that they're trying to bust, the same programs that helped them to get in this position now where they're making a lot of money. Now they want to scandalize. Now they don't want nobody else to have the same privilege, the Pell Grants that got their kids through college, the same programs that opened doors for their grandchildren. Now that they have made it, they don't want nobody else to have it. I think they need to remember. God needs to place somebody in their house that can say, don't you remember when? God needs to place a little slave girl in their house, a little slave boy. Not slave. Not, I'm just talking about in terms of the text. But God needs to place somebody there to help them to remember. God help a preacher that's got no memory of what God has done in his life or her life. God help a politician that's got no memory. God God help a church that all they want to do is clap their hands. Somebody comes that's hungry. It's nice for you to clap your hands, but you clap your hands because God has touched your heart to help somebody that's hungry. You got a reason to clap your hands. And all you're doing is clapping your hands and turning your back on the hungry. You need to go look again.